Let's open our Bibles tonight to the book of 2 Peter, the third chapter. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust and saying, where's the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. He said a mouthful. He covers it from the creation to the new creation. And that's what I want to talk about tonight, is the millenniums. This word, a thousand years, in verse 8, where he said that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. God is the author of time. He's the one that divided time up into years, months, weeks, days, hours, all of that. That's his doing. He did that. And that's what we live in. Most all of us here, if we have access to a watch clock that we regulate our activities by. We know what time to go to bed, we know what time to get up, we know what time to eat, We knew what time to go to work. We know what time to do this, that, and the other. Our lives are regulated by time. And when God set time in motion, I believe that He divided it up into dispensations. I'm a dispensational person. And you'll come to that understanding before we're through here tonight. In my way of figuring and calculating, and I've written a book about this, I've come to the conclusion that the date of creation, back in Genesis chapter 1, was in the year 3975, that's B.C., before Christ. That's 5,987 years ago from the time of creation. Now that beginning was a great beginning, wasn't it? It began with the amazing six-day work week of the Lord, in which He created all things, including Adam and Eve. And then after mankind is here on the earth, created in the image and in the likeness of God, we have Cain and Abel. Of course, in between, there's what we call the fall of man. Got to remember that. In the early part of man's history, the fall of man, Cain and Abel. Cain rose up against his brother Abel and killed him. Killed him. Adam and Eve had another son. His name was Seth. And that first millennium takes us from the creation all the way down to Methuselah's 313th birthday. He's the guy that lived 969 years, you know. The oldest one on our records. But 313 is still a lot of candles to light and burn on a birthday cake, isn't it? So the events of this first millennium are covered from Genesis 1:1 to Genesis chapter 5, verse 24. The first 1,000 years is covered in those five chapters. Not too much detail is given. Most of it is just a genealogical record of births and deaths. People were living then to be almost 1,000 years old. One exciting thing that did happen during that time was a fellow by the name of Enoch, who walked with God and was not, for God took him. He was 365 years old. That was in the year 2988 B.C. So this millennium, you might say, began with the big bang of creation and closed with the rapture of Enoch, just about it. Then the second millennium, that's covered here in Genesis 5:24 through Genesis 11:25. So the second 1,000-year period gets six chapters in the Bible. And let's see what the Lord tells us about that. That would take us from the year 2975 B.C. down to 1975 B.C. to within 8 years of Abraham's birth. it kind of begins with a catastrophic experience for the people of the earth when God sent rain upon the earth for the first time. It didn't rain for 1,656 years. That's a long drought. Except God had an underground irrigation system, and he caused a mist to come up out of the ground and kept everything water. Would that be nice if we had that now? But raindrops didn't start falling on their heads until the flood came, and then it was too late. 2319 B.C. in the 1656th year of man is when God sent the flood in the days of Noah. And mankind, mankind had so corrupted God's way on the face of the earth that God gave up on them. He said, I'm going to destroy them with a flood. And he did. Saved 8 people out of the entire population of the earth. Started over again. And then trailing on down toward the end of that first or that second millennium period, we have another spectacular event. There was a fellow by the name of Peleg who was born 2218 B.C. He lived for 239 years up to 1979 B.C. Now, up until then, you'll remember, think of this earth. All of the dry land was on one in one group. It was not divided up into continents as it is today. It was all in one place. Only one continent, so to speak. And the dry land was in one place, and all of the seas, the waters that covered the earth, were all one ocean. In the days of Peleg, the earth was divided. Divided into the continents that we have today. There was also another event that took place near the end of this second millennium. All of the people got together at a place called Babylon and started building a tower. I don't know how in the world they ever got permission from the city to do this, but they did. They were going to build a tower whose top would reach to heaven. God saw the futility of their efforts, and I don't know how tall it ever got, but I read somewhere that they had enough bricks that they had already built out of this thing that at least 5 cities were built out of the bricks that they used and that they'd already used in building this tower. So that's a lot of bricks. And so God confounded their languages. Peleg was 8 years old at that time. And I just imagine that his daddy came in from work that day, speaking Polish or something like that. And he asked his wife, what's for supper? She didn't understand him. Then the fight started. So the confusion of languages was kind of marked the end of that second millennium. 1975 B.C., the third millennium started, and it went to 975 B.C., that thousand-year period. And the biblical history kind of picks up on that because it began in Genesis 11:25 and went all the way to 1 Kings chapter 7, verse 51. Now, it was during this millennium that Abraham was born, and God called him to go into the land of Canaan. And in 1892 B.C., God made a covenant with him and to his seed regarding the land of Israel. During this millennium, of course, we have not only the life of Abraham, but that of Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, and others. Jacob's name was changed to Israel during that millennium. And after that, it occurs 2,566 times in the Bible. So God picked up on that, and you read about Israel all the way through Revelation. That's in Genesis 32, verse 28. In 1699 B.C., a young kid by the name of Joseph was sold by his brothers into Egyptian slavery, became a servant in the house of Potiphar down in Egypt. There was a seven-year famine that came, and in 1677 B.C., his father Jacob and his 70 descendants went into Egypt, and Joseph settled them in the land of Goshen, and they became a great multitude of people living in the land of Egypt. It was during this millennium that there in Egypt, a child was born who was named Moses. In 1542 B.C., in 1462 B.C., when Moses was 80 years old, God called him at the burning bush. We talked about that this morning. And used him to lead Israel out of Egyptian bondage at the Exodus, when all of the Israelites were led by Moses out of Egypt to cross the Red Sea on dry ground into the wilderness. And they wandered there in the wilderness for 40 years, and then Moses died. Joshua brought them into Canaan across the Jordan River, also on dry ground, in 1422 B.C. And after they'd gone into the land, they settled the tabernacle at Shiloh, where the land was divided among the 12 tribes of Israel in 1415 B.C. See, we're traveling down now. This is the third millennium. Then for the next 300 years of this millennium, God's people were ruled by judges until the year 1065 B.C. They wanted a king, and God had Samuel to anoint Saul of the tribe of Benjamin as king of Israel, their first king. He ruled for 40 years to 1025 B.C., and then he was succeeded by David. David ruled from 1025 for another 40 years to 985 B.C. After David died, his son Solomon began his 40-year reign as king. Solomon's the one that built the temple. And when the temple was dedicated In 975 B.C., it marked the end of that third millennium. These millenniums were more or less, they had a remarkable beginning and a remarkable end. Eventful things happened. Then the fourth millennium began in 975 B.C., the year of the dedication of Solomon's temple, and goes forward to 25, that's A.D. now, to 25 A.D. Now this period of this millennium is covered from 1 Kings chapter 8 to Matthew chapter 3 verse 13. What happened that year? There was a young man about 30 years of age who went down from Nazareth to the Jordan River where a fellow by the name of John was baptizing. His name was Jesus. He said, "John, I want you to baptize me." "Oh no, I'm not worthy to baptize you. I'm not worthy to loose your shoes." He said, "You baptize me." So he did. They went down into the water and John baptized him, and they came up out of the water, and a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him." And down comes the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove and lights upon him. Wow, what a day. That's the way that fourth millennium started, with the baptism that's the way it ended. I'm getting to the end of it here. It started with the dedication of Solomon's temple and ended with Jesus being baptized and starting his earthly ministry. Well, during all that time, we have the divided kingdom at the death of Solomon in 945 B.C., between Israel and Judah, the two northern tribes and the southern. And then Israel was overthrown by the Assyrians in 721 B.C. They came out of Nineveh. And then there was the 70-year Babylonian captivity for the Jews of Judea in 586 B.C. By the way, close to that time, in 563 B.C., there was a baby that was born, and this wasn't his name. I've forgotten what that is. I couldn't pronounce it if I knew it, but they called him a Buddha. Buddha. And Buddha became a great religious leader. And that was 563 years before Jesus came. And it became a great religion and is still a religion today that has over 300 million people who still worship Buddha. But that's the time when Buddha came along. About the time of the Babylonian captivity, you can associate it with that. Well, that fourth millennium witnessed the ministry of a great many prophets of the Lord, men like Elijah and Elisha and Isaiah, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, Daniel, and others. Covers the time of the Assyrian Empire, when they were in control of the entire known world at that time. They were overthrown by the Babylonians, and the Babylonian Empire lasted for a while. The Babylonian Empire was overcome by the Medes and the Persians, and it lasted for a while. And then the Grecian Empire came along, and it lasted for a while. And finally, the Roman Empire came into power, and it was in power at the end of that fourth millennium. The 400 silent years, they're called, between Malachi and Matthew occurred during this millennium, when no voice of a prophet was heard in Israel. This fourth millennium takes us to Nazareth in Galilee, where the angel of the Lord visited a virgin by the name of Mary, who was engaged to a man named Joseph. And he informed her that she would conceive by the Holy Spirit and bear a son who would be named Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. That son was born in Bethlehem of Judea, laid in a manger in 5 BC. He was raised in Nazareth. And at the end of this fourth millennium, as we said in the beginning, he was baptized by John, tempted of the devil for 40 days, and began his earthly ministry. So that was a spectacular millennium, beginning with the dedication of Solomon's temple and ending with the dedication of the ministry of Jesus Christ, isn't it? Then their next millennium began. We're already in the AD period now, time of Christ. Starts there with his baptism by John in the Jordan River from AD 25. For 1,000 years forward, it goes up to the year 1025. Of course, at the very beginning of this, in that first century, it was a very exciting time because our Lord Jesus Christ was crucified, died the vicarious death of the cross of Calvary at Jerusalem. He was buried in Joseph's new tomb. The third day he rose from the dead, showed himself alive for 40 days by many infallible proofs, and ascended back to heaven. But before he went, he promised, "I will come again." That first century of this fifth millennium saw the spread of Christianity by his apostles and his disciples. Churches sprang up in all parts of the world as they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. But that first century also saw the destruction of Jerusalem and the scattering of the Jewish people. In 70 AD, when Titus came with the Roman armies, destroyed the temple and destroyed the city of Jerusalem. They were scattered. That was a time of great persecution, and many souls won a martyr's crown during that time. In the year 313, Constantine, who was the emperor of the Roman Empire at that time, was converted to Christianity. And he made Christianity the state religion of the Roman Empire. Didn't last long, because in 375, the Dark Ages began, when the hordes of Mongols led by Attila the Hun swept across Europe. During that time, the teachings of Christ became corrupted. In the year 611, remember this one, another new religion called Islam was born. It was established by a fellow by the name of Mohammed, and now claims 2 billion followers. And they're giving Christianity a run for its money because they are very, very militant. If you've been watching television, reading the newspapers, you know that religion of Islam. The sixth millennium, which will end in 2025. We're living in 2012 now. That sixth millennium will end in 2025. There's been some great events happen during this millennium that we're coming to the close of. Starts off in history with a bunch of crusades, about 12 of them. They started in 1095, almost 1 million people participating in them. They marched all the way across Europe to the Holy Land to try to take back Judea, the environs of Jerusalem and all that, from the Muslim Turks who had taken possession of it. And there were wars fought. Those crusades continued on till 1291. In the end, the Muslims won and continued to maintain control over that land until 1948. During this millennium, about 1332, the bubonic plague swept across Europe. They called it the Black Death. In 20 years, it claimed the lives of approximately 75 million of people. About three-fourths of the population of Europe and Asia were overcome by that bubonic plague. Then there was a religious movement that was called the Reformation that started in the early part of this millennium, 14th century, with leaders like John Huss, John Wycliffe, John Calvin, John Knox, John Simpson wasn't there. They had a lot of Johns, didn't they? The old Martin Luther got into it. He broke the chain. And William Tyndale and people like that. The Reformation. Read about it. This millennium has seen the invention of the printing press back in the year 1440. Today it's evolved to the computer. America was discovered, 1492. And the growth and spread of Western civilization has multiplied. And God's Word The Bible has been printed and distributed, translated into other languages. You've got missionaries, Bible societies, spreading the Word of God, taking it to the unreached people of the world. This millennium has also witnessed the fragmentation of Christianity into hundreds of different denominations, they're called. We've seen a spectacular rise of cults, and it seems to be ending with the exploration of outer space. We've had men walk on the moon, and now we've landed a vehicle on Mars. If life is found on Mars, you may rest assured that Baptist missionaries will be on the second shuttle that goes out. We've experienced destructive wars during this millennium. The Holocaust, where 6 million Jews were killed. And we've seen the population of the world grow to 7 billions of people. Israel became a nation again in 1948 after 1,878 years. They were finally established again as a nation. I personally believe that this millennium will end with a spectacular event that I call the rapture and the first resurrection and the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. I've got that fixed in my mind, and I'll go to my grave believing it, and if it doesn't come to pass, that's all right, because God's still in control. But that's what I believe. I won't force my belief on anybody else. I give you the right to argue with me. But just think about it. This is 2012, 2025. 13 more years. But we've got a 7-year tribulation period that's going to come in somewhere in there before the return of Christ. And it's at the beginning of the 7-year tribulation period that the rapture and the first resurrection takes place. So you subtract 7 years. Hey, let's do a little figuring here. Come on. Won't hurt you. 7 years from 2025 brings it down to what? 2018. That's about 2 terms of another president or so. It's getting close. It's getting close. We can look about us and we can see all of the signs that God's given us in His Word. We see these things coming to pass. And Jesus tells us that when you do, He said, look up. Lift up your eyes. For your redemption draweth nigh. Jesus is coming. And when He comes, He's going to establish His own personal 7th millennium. The 1,000 years that He's going to rule and reign over this earth in righteousness. So we have a bright future, don't we? Any way you look at it. Hey, if we die, To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. If we are alive and the trumpet sounds, we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And when he comes back, we will come back to this earth with him. When he establishes his kingdom, we will rule and reign with him for that 1,000 years as kings and priests. Looks pretty good for us. That's a pretty good retirement plan, isn't it? Yeah, doesn't sound much like retirement. Anyway, I wanted to give you this tonight. I've been sitting on this for a while and a little reluctant to throw all of this stuff at you at one time, but I said, oh, you're strong enough to bear all this. But you get an idea. If you remember what I've told you tonight about these dispensations, you'll have a skeleton that you can build upon all the way from Genesis 1:1 through the book of Revelation.